Senate Rules Committee will come to order.
Sensible thing was to use the LCMR.
Sorry, we're running a little late. Various staff got caught up in traffic here, so. We have, I believe, two items today. We have some legislative benefit issues for legislative employees. We'll do that second so that Senator Murphy and others can get their work done and leave.
Something.
Is there an agenda?
No, there's not.
Senator Alston, there's not an agenda in your packet. There was one mailed out or emailed. Two items. There's a summary of proposed legislative employee benefit issues we'll deal with. And then the second is dealing with the, remember we had discussed a joint committee to investigate the bridge collapse. They had requested a transfer of some dollars to the LCC, and even though that doesn't necessarily have to come to the Rules Committee, there was the sense that people wanted to talk about it and have it come here, so that's why we'll talk about it today. And I think if we there's some documentation here, there was, and we'll have Senator Murphy go through all this, there's a one sheet that shows what the history of all this was in terms of appointing the committee. This is a joint between the House and the Senate. And then there's a list of who's on this committee. And there's a proposal for investigation. And I think Senator Murphy's going to go through a lot of this. I don't know how much detail. And then he'll describe the process that this group has gone through. They're about ready to, I guess, hire somebody, or they'd like to, and they've gone through a process, and Senator Murphy's going to explain all that. So again, this is not something that has to come through rules, but I got the sentiment the other last time we visited about this that people were interested, and Senator Senjum also sent me a note explaining some issues and concerns about it from his and others' perspective, and so I thought, let's bring it to the committee and just chat about it. So, Senator Murphy, where are you at?
Starting with that.
So, yeah, well, let's start with that. Senator Murphy.
Senator Olson, I didn't hear what Senator Olson said.
She just wanted to know if we were going to do this, the bridge collapse joint committee first, or the employee benefit issue first. We'll do the bridge collapse first since you're here.
Thanks, because I have another job I want to get to.
Senator Murphy, why don't you just kind of bring us up to speed? And
all right. Mr. Chairman and committee members, one of your handouts is the legislature. It was a joint release, news release, sent out by the majority leader and the Speaker of the House, naming who was on the committee, and then kind of what the committee's charges were going to be. That's the document that has the names of the senators on the front. The next piece of material, I believe, is the November 19th, 2007, and it's a proposal for investigation. Basically, this kind of outlined what we felt our charge should be, and it kind of laid out a timeline as to when things were expected and what was expected of the committee. You can see about halfway down on the front page, it talks about the work plan and steps A, B, and C, with a initial report, a second committee report, and then a final report. It also talks about the relationship to the other ongoing investigations. There are two other ongoing investigations into this matter, and how we see our role as working to help complement those investigations. The third document is dated, it's got today's date on it, and this is the document that one-pager. It talks about what the committee's charges are and what it is that we're trying to attempt to do here. Now, knowing that there are two other independent investigations proceeding at this time, I would have to say that it And from my perspective and from Chair Leader's perspective, we want our investigative team to work, you know, not to duplicate their work, gather the information that is available to the public that these other organizations have, these other two outfits have put together, and see if that helps us to try to understand what the process is for building bridges, for maintaining bridges, the reconstruction of bridges, and kind of a flavor for what the overall funding mechanism is, and if that is sufficient enough to make sure that this never happens again. Bottom line, that's our charge, is to make sure that every bridge in the state of Minnesota, whether it's in St. Cloud or New Ulm, is as safe as reasonably possible. Mr. Chairman, and the selection committee, which selected a team and finalized that, I believe, on Monday, that was Chair Leader, myself, Representatives Earhart, Hornstein, Portman, and Representative Neil Peterson. On the Senate side, we had Senators Dibble, Jungbauer, and Cohen. And even though Senator Cohen's name doesn't appear on the investigative committee, you know, he is our finance chair, and we do defer a lot of these money issues to Senator Cohen. So the committee went through a very exhaustive process. And, Mr. Chairman, committee members, I have to say that I was the only member that was not present at every one of the interviews. My other work didn't allow me to be there a few days. But I feel very comfortable in the work that the hiring committee did. Spent a lot of hours, a lot of discussion. We tried to not only pick the firm that we felt had the most expertise in the area, but they had the personnel and the personnel power to make sure that our investigation was a quality investigation. The last meeting that we had, we went through some of the records that are public records through the Campaign Finance Board to find out about individual donations to campaigns. After we did all that, we came to the conclusion that to try to make this as apolitical as possible, knowing that we live in a political environment, we picked the firm that that we did.
Senator Murphy, you apparently interviewed numerous applications.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe it was, maybe Mr. Watson can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we interviewed, five outfits. And all through that process, I can say that every one of the respondents that came and interviewed gave excellent presentations. And we would have, I think the state of Minnesota would have been well served to hire any one of the five. But after looking at all the facts and knowing that we live in a political environment and a lot of these other things that are going on have been politicized to the point of puking, we wanted to go with the firm that had the less, the least amount of I don't know, target hanging on its back in regards to politics. We wanted to make sure that this report is above reproach. I believe that the work that the legislative auditor is going to do is going to be above reproach, as it always is. We don't want to step on their toes in any way, shape, or form. That's why we've asked that once our investigation starts and our investigators start working on this, that they hold that in high regard. The legislative auditors, you know, everybody knows they're above reproach, and we want to make sure that integrity is maintained. after the legislative auditor, as you can see in some of the documentation, after the legislative auditor's report is done, you know, the bridge collapse committee will meet again. We'll get a presentation on that. We'll have some of the, well, we'll have the outfit that we have proposed to hire, talk with the legislative auditor to try to glean as much information as possible and see if there is further need to keep them on. If it, and this was just a conversation that we had on Tuesday, if it appears that that we are not going to need their services anymore, we can always back away. I think that there's a lot of, even after the legislative auditor's report comes in, there's going to be work that needs to be done to understand not only this incident, but where we're at as far as the integrity of our bridges across the state.
Okay, questions for Senator Murphy. Senator Olson.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, you keep referring, you've already made a decision. Are you, you haven't announced that yet? So who the firm is?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, no, we have not announced that. As a matter of fact, I just signed the paperwork to go ahead with the hiring process contingent upon the recommendation of the group here.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, I'm still not totally understanding. The Joint Committee was to investigate the bridge collapse. So you're needing, is this somebody that's going to organize what you have learned? Because you've had myriad hearings over the time here on this subject. Have you gathered all of the information and this firm is just going to essentially staff your committee and write it up? Or is this a whole different investigation? I'm not sure I understand what it would do that, and how what will distinguish it from the work that's being done. And you mentioned two. We've got the national board that's studying it from one perspective. You've got the legislative auditor and the, what is it, Wiss, Janney, Elsner Associates also studying it. Could you point out what, you know, are there gaps in the combination of these studies, the results of which we don't know yet?
Right.
So why would we do something before we know what is already being paid for it and plunk down $500,000? Is the House doing $500,000 too, so it's $1 million altogether? Or
it's
what?
$250,000 from the Senate, $250,000 from the House.
Before doing that. Help me understand. You were talking kind of in generalities, and I don't think I understand what the need is here. Unless there's something that you don't trust of any of the other work, could you point out if it's that, or if it is in fact that there are gaps that aren't being addressed, and if you would be more specific as to what those are?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, I appreciate your question. There are only two other independent investigations going on right now.
Which?
There is the investigation of the NTSB in conjunction with the people that the Lieutenant Governor hired, Weiss, Janney, and then there is the legislative auditor. The NTSB and Weiss, Janney, that is one investigation. They are working parallel together, same offices. That investigation reports directly to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation. Their contract's right here. Senator, I would encourage you to go on MnDOT's website and read the contract that is signed. In the investigation that we have going,
so Mr.
with the
Chairman,
legislative
auditor, they have the contract with the National Transportation Safety Board.
They have the contract with Weiss Janney.
But the National Board, isn't that independent of?
Mr. Chairman, no, it's not, Senator Olson. They are working in together, same offices, exchanging material on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. That's not independent. Mr. Chairman, I would pose a question to you, Senator Olson. Does that seem to be independent to you? Same offices, hand in hand. It looks like a marriage. It doesn't look independent to me.
Well,
appearances are everything.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know what what data they are collecting and what the the value of it is. Is there some
cynical
basis for mistrust at this point without knowing what what they have in fact learned and what they are going to present?
Senator Cole.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, let me just offer another twist to what Senator Murphy suggests. The chairman, Senator Murphy, myself, Senator Jungbauer, have served on this ad hoc LAC relative to the request from the administration to have monies, not supplemental to the federal money, but in advance of the federal money. We've had no control over what happens with the federal money. And I've made the point several times in those committee hearings that with all the difficulty in Washington, what guarantee do we have that we'll get the money? And that's exactly what's happened. We're not getting the money, and we're not quite sure when we get the money.
Well, there might have been a breakthrough apparently yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're going to get the money.
Mr. Chairman, maybe not. But it makes the point that we've had no control over that process. We also have no control over the NTSB process. We have no control over when they issue the report. We have no control over what the nature of their investigation is. We have no control over what they're doing, not doing. And that's not a criticism. That's at the federal level. This was a state bridge within the state of Minnesota. We're the state legislature. And I was of the very strong opinion, and I have not been a participant other than kind of overseen as chairman of the Finance Committee. I haven't been a participant in a lot of the transportation discussions. But I had very strong feelings that if we were to try to determine what we should be doing differently, whether in terms of bridge maintenance, bridge construction, what's happening within state government, we would need something closer to us that we had more control over, not in a political sense, but simply in proximity to us. We have no proximity to the NTSB. And absent our ability to do that and to retain an office that has the ability to provide that investigative support for us, which we don't have in-house, we'll just be going around in circles.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson had asked other questions as well. Senator Olson, it's very clear as to what our charge is. It's in black and white. It's right there for everyone to read. We basically have three timelines that we're looking at producing documents, reports. We asked for expertise in the area of investigation. You know, I look at around the table at the group of senators and representatives that we have on our Bridge Collapse Committee, and I don't see any private eyes. I don't see any legal experts that have had investigative work in their background. It's much like the experts that we call upon to take testimony in front of committee. We are relying on the powers of this outfit to, find and consolidate material that will help us hopefully present a better bridge plan, not only for the state of Minnesota, but also for the entire nation. The eyes of the entire nation are on Minnesota right now. We have one of the best bridge programs nationally, any place. I mean, and actually in the world. Unfortunately, we are also the state that had a bridge fall into the river. What went wrong? And how can we make sure that that never happens again, not only in Minnesota, but all across the United States? I think that that's a bigger charge than worrying about whether or not someone's toes are going to get stepped on, Senator Olson. And when you ask about the question of trust, the Secretary of Transportation, and I'll quote her because I wrote it right down here. This is from 10-107. Mary Peters said she had spoken with the chair of the NTSB and that when the report comes out, it will not be because of a lack of maintenance or inspection. She was talking about the I-35W bridge and the reasons why it fell down. Now, if the Secretary of Transportation at the U.S. level is making these kind of assertions before the report is in, yeah, I think maybe that we need to look at this a little bit closer. It sure seems that something is afoul. This was information that we're not privy to, Senator Olson, and quite frankly, this was information that Secretary Peters should not have been privy to, if in fact this conversation between the secretary and the chair of the NTSB actually occurred.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think listening to that statement, the National Transportation Safety Board is supposed to determine what happened structurally that caused it to fall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're at the engineering level and trying to determine what it was. I mean, if it's, I think you're looking at trying to affix responsibility for what was or wasn't done along the way. And I don't know if that's what this new group is going to do. Are they going to go back and look at and find the blame of a design that was not redundant, that was faulty from the get-go, that wasn't forward-looking at all? Are we going to look at who made the decisions to expand the usage of this bridge, expand the lanes, the whole business?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to look
Mr.
at...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson,
are we going to look at
correct.
The pigeons mm-hmm. that were pooping underneath there? And anybody that knows mm-hmm. that that's... That when you said run afoul, you reminded me of that.
pigeons
that,
aren't actually
That's pretty
foul,
corrosive but. Stuff. Any of us who've raised chickens know that you got pretty corrosive stuff. And I don't know, did somebody not inspect underneath there or use a power washer and get that crud out of there and find out what was going right. on there? Or, you know, you could go on and on. Where do you stop? Is that what you're trying to look at as to what the fault is, or are we going to look at what happened, find out why this kind of accident could in fact happen? In hindsight, we know that bridge should have been closed. I don't care what you know the plates or doing inspection or anything else. That bridge should have been closed. But can you imagine what would have gone on if somebody had made that decision to shut that bridge down? I mean,
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, I can tell you what wouldn't have happened if the bridge would
have been
shut down.
Yes, we all know that.
And it's the same thing with the Lowry Street Bridge. It's the same thing with the bridge right over here, the Lafayette Street Bridge. It's the same thing with the Hastings Bridge. They're all in that same rating, Senator Olson. And anybody that drives from Red Wing, any of my constituents, either have to go across the Lafayette Bridge or the Hastings Street or the Hastings Bridge, Highway 61 Bridge, to get to the metropolitan area.
So,
now, how do you think my constituents feel, Senator Olson? They don't have a 394 to drive in.
Is it, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Senator Murphy, I have absolute, I understand what you're talking about altogether, but if we don't understand what it was that did it.
Right. That's what we're trying to find out, Senator Olson.
Obviously, I don't think there was any inspection process that went on there that said, this bridge isn't safe to drive on. It should be closed down. So obviously there's something wrong with what in fact is going on, whether it's the standards or whatever.
Right.
But it would seem to me that you have to know what in fact precisely happened, where those weaknesses mm-hmm. were and what happened in order to be able to determine that.
Senator Olson, you're exactly right. Senator Murphy, let Senator Olson finish.
Mr. Chairman, that's why I think reading that the NTSB is not trying to make find the blame in terms of those human processes. They're trying to find out what structurally happened. That then is the basis for us to look at how are those processes and make challenges, whether it's to the federal government or to ourselves, into what might have been done differently that could have prevented something like this. Because
sure.
we obviously haven't got those in place, and we all ought to be shook up, and we ought to be concerned.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, now I'm confused. So, Senator Olson, you're suggesting we let the NTSB process take place, which we have no control over, and let's say that's, Senator Murphy, a year, 2 years down the road. Then we decide that we have some further questions from the NTSB process that we need to take a look at. Now, we're a couple of years down the road. So now it's another 3 or 4 years, and I'm not the transportation expert in this place, nor the bridge expert. But that suggests that the legislature, when it starts appropriating money for the 10-11 budget a year from now, will have very little information with which to proceed on in terms of whether or not we think we ought to make some policy and or finance changes and what we've been doing. And so what you're suggesting is we just wait for several years for these answers.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I'm not suggesting that we don't know that there's a need out there. I think knowing that this happened shows that there's a need, regardless of what in fact has been done or hasn't been done, that some of these bridges need replacing. And we ought to be looking at how our approaches are that could be get that done sooner rather than later. And so I don't think it stops that discussion at all. And we need to get serious about it and get past the various range of controversy and conflict that there is that stems around the whole transportation and transit funding, so that we can in fact move forward. And that's I'm just trying to understand what this will do, other than that will make me even feel that it's independent.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I'm glad to hear that, because that means that we're on the same page, that you want to get the answers to the questions and you want to get the answers as quickly as possible. And I'm not sure I've heard of any other way to get the answers as quickly as possible other than what's being proposed here. The timeline, and I'm not sure Senator Murphy mentioned it, but the timeline discussed with the firms interviewed is a fairly quick timeline. And it's one that's meant to, one, if altogether possible, keep it out of election year politics, at least in terms of issuance of report, in October of 2008, but to also allow for work in the 2009 session reflecting what happens with this investigation. So if your stated intent, if the intent as stated is correct, and obviously I assume it is, I'm not sure you can suggest any other way we get from A to B.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Before you go there,
yeah?
I mean, what you were just referring to, I'm just looking at the work plan that the committee has put together. March 17th report, after conducting interviews, gathering materials, et cetera, et cetera. Then a second committee report in September, updated based on legislative auditor and so forth. And then a final report, date uncertain, upon completion of the NTSB. So I think, I didn't have any part in putting this together. It sounds like this group, this bipartisan group of legislators, has got a work plan here that they've asked for some outside staff assistance on, and that's all they're doing right now. I don't know that they know where this is going exactly. I just think that they're trying to figure out a way to deal with the legislative function here in a way that's productive and useful.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, in regards to the work plan's right there in front of you, and I would ask that you read through it to understand exactly what the committee's charge is. But we had nonpartisan staff, for the most part, put the work plan together. And I don't know of anybody who does not feel that our nonpartisan staff does excellent work. I just don't know anybody that feels that way. I think that we've got a strong work plan in order, and we're going to ask the questions, and some of them will be difficult for folks to answer, and they may pose difficult scenarios that we will have to deal with, like actually standing up and facing the $1 billion worth of bridges that are structurally deficient just on our state trunk highway system. We'll have to stand up and answer to the fact that there's $790 million of deficiencies on our local bridges. $790 million. These are local bridges that are primarily in southeastern Minnesota, Senator Olson. And we need to know how we can better serve the public. I think and truly believe that our Bridge Collapse Committee we'll have some rough answers before session is over, which will help us pass a funding package. And it comes down to money, Senator Olson. We don't have enough money to fix all of our bridges, and we need to know how we can do it in the most cost-effective manner, and I believe that this committee is going to help us gain those answers.
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it sounds like you've already got the answers for what the situation is. So why do we need to hire a law firm? I don't mean to be obstreperous about this, but
you are.
I'm trying to understand how a law firm will get us to answers. You've been holding hearings. You're asking questions. Are you suggesting that the members of this joint committee cannot ask the questions and cannot get the answers that a law firm will get? Or
Mr. Chairman, to
get to the answers that you've mm-hmm. already stated you have?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, some of the answers to those questions are as plain as the nose on anybody's face in this room. You can't build things without having money. And right now we don't have any money. I think we all agreed on that. But we also cannot have a quality, state-of-the-art inspection program and bridge program unless we know the nuances of the current programs. Now, none of us outside of Senator Carlson are mechanical engineers in this room or in the legislature at all. Just because I have a chief engineer's grade A license doesn't mean that I know about bridge engineering any more than my carpenter friend, Senator Bach, knows how to weld. Your area of expertise is education. It always has been. We need to have people who are highly skilled and highly trained in the art of extracting information. Now, everyone around this table is pretty good about asking a lot of questions, but sometimes we don't ask the right questions to understand some of this very complex, detailed information. Now, some of the people that are that I see, every one of these outfits that we interviewed talked about the need to have further expertise in the area of bridge design, maintenance, those types of things. And I'm fully confident that they will be able to ask the questions, compile the information, and help us in bringing forward a bridge plan that keeps everybody in the state of Minnesota safe.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator, are these engineering firms then that you're interviewing or law firms? Because I thought you said that it was a law firm.
Mr. Chairman, what gives the law firms?
Well, what gives them that expertise?
Mr. Chairman.
Individual conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
Mr. Chairman, it seems that Senator Olson is trying to drive a wedge of politics into this, and we've tried to make it as apolitical as possible. And I, you know, the wedge of politics were driven in on the Friday after the bridge collapse when this contract was signed with Weiss-Janney. Senator Olson, some of these things should disturb you. I mean, It's disturbing.
Mr. Chairman, what have I said that is political?
Okay, let's just slow down. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, you know, Senator Murphy indicated at the outset that because of the responsibilities of his other position, he missed some of the interviews, and I sure have had that same problem around here. But in this instance, you know, I was present for the interviews. So let me tell you what we heard from the firms. I'm not going to.
Who was at the interviews? Let's just clarify that. I thought it was a bipartisan group of senators and mm-hmm. House members.
Oh, no, what the meetings we had where we interviewed
the law firms. On page three, Erhard, Hortman, Hornstein, Peterson, Youngbauer, and Leader, Murphy, Youngbauer, Cohen, and Dibble. Bipartisan group. Murphy apparently wasn't there for all the interviews, but apparently these other people were.
What are you looking at?
Representative Erhard missed a couple of interviews as well, I believe. But Senator Murphy was there. Senator Murphy was there for a good part of it. But let me answer Senator Olson's question relative to why a law firm versus anything else. The law firms that were interviewed were not like my office. My office, you know, Senator Murphy's talked about it. He has a grade A engineer license. I've got a law degree. I'm not competent to handle an investigation of this sort, nor is anybody in my office. The office is interviewed, and if I started to talk about particular investigations they worked on, it might identify the firm, so I'm not going to do that. But all of them have been involved in significant investigative work. All of them discussed with us how they would obtain information that we were looking for. One of the ways they would do so is within the contract being requested, within the RFP in terms of dollar amount, they would subcontract with some type of document search firm that would have the ability to synthesize, computerize, and put together a half million documents, a million documents. That's the kind of work that these firms have done with other significant investigative work they've done. They would be able to dovetail that then with their investigative skills as attorneys, as Senator Murphy alluded to. They also discussed with us work they had done relative to engineering kinds of issues. The firms, I think with one exception, are of some size, so that they have within their firm attorneys who, if they don't actually have engineering degrees, have significant skills in regard to engineering kinds of concerns. We don't have that ability within a legislative committee, certainly, that I've ever seen, and we don't have that ability in-house with as competent and excellent as our nonpartisan staff is. I don't want to put Mr. Watson or Ms. Zoff on the spot, but I think they would suggest that if they have responsibilities to our committees and to our senators, I'm not going to speak for House staff or representatives, during a legislative session, they don't have the ability nor the time to undertake that kind of undertaking. The offices that came in front of us had people presented as lead attorneys or what I'll call maybe sub-lead attorneys. They emphasized that you know these several individuals would be the people primarily responsible for the work, but they also indicated that they would have access to other people within the firm if needed. We don't have that kind of manpower available to us, and we certainly don't have that kind of technical expertise available to us. So that's why a law firm. And I can tell you that the bulk of the discussions, I mean, you know, they were fairly free-ranging. We gave each firm an hour for a presentation. That was they were to make their presentation in about 20 minutes. Then there were questions that the committee members asked of the attorneys who were presenting, and then a chance for the attorneys then to ask questions of us. So it was a fairly free-ranging discussion. There were a number of issues, but the centrality of the issues were how would you handle this kind of investigation? What kind of expertise do you have to do so? And I can tell you, and I think everybody who served on this, whether Democrat or Republican, can tell you that we were of one mind that we did not have the ability to do this in-house, either legislatively or in terms of legislative staff. So that's what this law firm brings. And if you go throughout the gamut of law firms around the Twin Cities, around the state of Minnesota, most offices would not have that ability. We didn't get 200 RFPs. The RFP was not responded to by 200 law firms because it takes a particular skill to undertake something like this. And we were looking for some background in not an investigation into a bridge collapse. That's without precedent. But we were looking for some idea of how have you handled major kinds of work litigation in the past. And these are firms that don't necessarily specialize, but have done a significant amount of complex litigation. And at times I get a little bit jealous of people who are in that capacity. I think I'd like to try that someday. As long as I'm sitting in this place, I'm not going to be involved in complex litigation because I don't have the ability to commit 6 months to a trial. But these are law firms that have done that and have been able to synthesize hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pieces of information. They do so, again, with retained expertise within their contract in terms of document firms, in terms of particular engineers. I think Senator Murphy, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of the offices actually presented names of engineers and attached resumes of those engineers as to people they've used as experts in consultation with the firm. So that's something that we don't have. That's why this, separate from a timeline and independence, that's why this kind of investigative approach is what's needed. And I don't know that the NTSB is doing that in the same kind of fashion that this suggests.
And members, I just want to remind you.
Yes, good.
I just want to remind you, all we're doing here today is airing this and making a transfer to the LCC, which we don't have to do in the Rules Committee, but because of the interest, I thought, fine, let's talk about it. this group is not hiring this outside person. We're not making people or whoever they are. We aren't doing the interviewing. I personally have not been involved in any of that. I frankly am not sure who all these firms are that applied.
But Mr. Chairman, we are approving the money?
We would be transferring from the Senate budget to the LCC.
Okay, so
$250,000.
Well,
but Senator Olson, as I mentioned before, that does not have to come before the Rules Committee.
You can just you have the authority to do that.
Yes. But because there is interest, and Senator Senjum had mentioned earlier, because remember, it was a one or two rules committees ago, we mentioned that this group had been formed and people seemed to be interested in what are we doing. So I thought, okay, fine, let's bring it here, discuss it. And they've had a bipartisan effort. They've got a bipartisan interviewing process. I've absolutely not been involved in it. I don't believe the speaker's been involved in it. And all they've simply done is said, look, we need some money to the joint, to the LCC, so a joint House-Senate committee can do what they've been charged with doing. And so that's all we're doing here is kind of saying, go ahead, fine. Apparently, they're still vetting. You've apparently picked somebody as a group bipartisanly, but you're still vetting, doing some checking with references and things, or is that where it's at right now? Or do you have you done that and you pretty much know who you want to hire? Okay. So, Senator Olson, again, we're not making the hire here. We're not involved in that. That's a bipartisan committee that's doing that. All we're doing is talking about this, and then the request is $250,000 from the House and the Senate to the LCC, because that would be the proper forum for executing a contract with an outside consultant. And we've done it internally too, but since this is a joint House-Senate thing, LCC appears to be the right vehicle for that. And presumably, when we do this, that committee will meet jointly and make a decision. And that's pretty much all we're at here.
So Mr. Chairman, I'm still trying to understand. So this is the Bridge Collapse Joint Committee is essentially now, you know, we saw their work plan. You're turning this over to an outside entity then to develop the committee reports and proceed on, because you've acknowledged, you say that you can't do what was essentially the group was formed to do, and so what you've done is develop a proposal to have somebody
Senator
else
Olson,
do it.
Senator Olson, look at this document. It says the firm will be supervised by this bipartisan hiring committee along with the legislative committee. This is page 3. And then the subcommittee will work with the subcommittee.
So Mr. Chairman, this group will, when it comes to the areas that they're going to pursue, they will be bringing them before your Bridge Collapse Committee for review, or are you essentially turning over the whole thing to this group?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Olson, I'm not the one to respond to that. I don't serve on
that's for Murphy
the investigative
to
committee.
Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming.
Let Senator Murphy respond
to
that.
I was going to say, Senator Murphy can talk about how he would see his committee
bipartisan
with the investigation.
Relating to
bipartisan, bicameral.
But, Mr. Chairman, before Senator Murphy responds, I just want, as somebody who's kind of the odd person out in terms of the interview process, my expectation is that the law firm serves an investigative purpose, obviously, but at the end of the day serves in a similar capacity to a staff capacity. It's a larger role. It's a different kind of role than we've had staff do. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, before Senator Murphy responds, let me just suggest, as someone, to be honest with you, Senator Olson, before this, not before the bridge collapse, obviously, but in the context of some of the early discussions, I'm one of the people who pushed to try to have some kind of outside firm or entity serve in a staff capacity, because I didn't think we would have the ability to do so. And there's really no precedent that we have in Minnesota. I mean, obviously, there's no precedent for a bridge collapse. And so we're in a little bit of uncharted territory, but I think if you look at at a different level, at a national model. If you look at independent, if you look at special prosecutors, if you look at other kinds of major investigations, there is some significant staff capacity. If we look years ago, as a quick example, Senate Watergate Committee, there was, maybe better yet, House Judiciary Committee during the time of Watergate, there was, it was all done internal to House staff, but it was all extra House staff. It was hundreds of people hired for that particular purpose who were not permanent House staffers. I believe this, and the same was true of the Senate Watergate Committee. The same is true of special prosecutors, where you have to, in effect, staff up to deal with the magnitude of something. And this is certainly an event in Minnesota history that I guess I'll suggest is on, if not a parallel, is certainly of huge magnitude to Minnesota, is something that will be of huge magnitude 50 years from now. And that's why Senator Murphy can speak as to how his joint committee is going to operate vis-a-vis the staff.
So, but Senator Murphy, directly to the question, Senator Olson's question of are you turning this over to this higher or as a staff assistance, or what's the committee's thinking on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, it's staff assistance.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Sinjal.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't think it's any secret that certainly the Republican Senate caucus, and I would add that as we talked about that this matter on a particular day a couple of weeks ago, Senator Jungbaugh was not there. But our caucus is absolutely unanimously, with the exception of Senator Jungbaugh, opposed to this. This is, we think about this. What do the citizens of Minnesota really want? They want to know why the bridge fell, and they want to know what in the world are we going to do to prevent it again. Now, if we don't believe that the STB, the Legislative Auditor Study, and you can add the Weiss-Jenny study, is not going to tell us the answers to those, I think we're foolhardy. This we look at as a fourth investigation into a matter that's already been covered by other studies. We suggest that there's political motivation here. I don't know that for sure, but it sure looks like it. And it simply looks to me like we're in a political witch hunt, and we're out to get the Commissioner of Transportation in Minnesota. And if that's the case, we'll probably do that on February 12th. But for goodness sakes, we don't think that this particular study is necessary, that's going to add anything to the information that we'll get anyway. And the very notion, and now we talk about we're going to hire a law firm, and they're going to hire document collectors and engineers themselves. If that's not replication, then kind of what is? Because, and maybe the majority members don't have this sheet, but we've done side-by-sides in terms of what these three studies are going to be doing. And
I'd like to see it.
And it's all right there. It's all right there. It's nicely laid out in terms of what each group is going to be doing. And frankly, if we look at this study plan, there's an awful lot of replication there.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Murphy. I'm sorry.
So, were you done, Senator Sinjal?
Well, let Senator Murphy
go ahead. Let him go. Senator Sinjal, go ahead.
May I just add, and it was added earlier that, we've got the charge. Now, I don't know if and the charge is clear. I don't know if this is the charge. This seemed to be the charge of the committee. Is there another charge in here in terms of what the...
No, I think that's it.
The
that's what
consultants are going to do? Because if I look at the charge of the committee and then I look at the charge of the side-by-sides that we have, that seems to me to be very well covered in terms of what the current groups are doing. So, as we talk about this, and I think Senator Olson has suggested and maybe reflected for at least all of us on our side our confusion about what's going on and why is this happening and why aren't the current groups covering the information we are looking for, I think that's valid, because it does seem to us that this is a fourth investigation piling on top of others, and why would you do a fourth investigation other than motives which perhaps we don't understand?
Mr. Chairman, I might add that I was not a participant in the caucus discussions on this, nor have I had any follow-up of talking with people on it. Those are questions just I've been trying to sort out and understand from what I thought the mission of the joint committee was, and then what you're trying to do in relation to the other studies. It's that was me not talking, not my caucus talking.
Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator Sundrum.
You know, think about TWA 300. It left Kennedy Airport. It went out over the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not sure how high it got, but it just absolutely totally exploded. The NSTB.
NTSB.
NSTB. I'm sorry. Dug that plane. Dug that plane out of the ocean. Brought it into a hangar. Put it together again, and ultimately identified that a micro spark blew that plane apart. If we don't think an agency that can do that can figure out why this bridge fell, I just don't understand it in terms of our thought process. These folks are totally professional. They're forensic in every way you can imagine in terms of identifying causes. And they will tell us why this bridge fell. They will tell us what we need to do to subsequently prevent other bridges from falling. I'm confident of that. So as we go into that, I just keep asking why.
Senator Murphy.
And, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinjin, maybe I can ask you two questions. Does it trouble you, yes or no, that Secretary Mary Peters, in a meeting, and Representative Earhart was sitting right next to me, and I saw him write down the same thing I did in my little book here, does it not bother you that Secretary Peters has already made a predetermined conclusion on what didn't cause the bridge to fall down? Does that bother you, yes or no?
Well, he doesn't. What? Senator Sinjin. That's a question, Senator Sinjin, and you can answer it any way you want.
And
Secretary
Mr. Chairman,
Peter says what didn't cause the bridge to fall down?
Secretary Peters.
Senator, could you repeat?
Once again, Secretary Peters said that she had a discussion with the head of the NTSB, who told her that when the report comes back, it will show that the bridge fell down was not a result of lack of maintenance or inspection. I'm sorry, inspection or maintenance.
Mr. Chair, I can't answer that.
But
let me just say this.
Are you sure it was that way?
I am totally confident in the apolitical, skilled scientific nature in which the NSTB is going to, and NTSB, I'm sorry, NTSB is going to cover this investigation. I don't care what Mary Peters said. I'm confident that this agency has to have so much integrity for it to operate. It can't afford to go down anything other than straight lines.
Mr. Chairman, and that is exactly my feelings before I read the contract and knowing the intimate relationship between the contract holder and the NTSB. The lieutenant governor has her people working side by side inside the offices of the NTSB. I don't know and can't find documentation from the NTSB's website where this has ever happened before, Senator Sinjin. Does that not bother you? It bothers me.
Senator Sinjin.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, everybody involved in here has got a personal reputation to stand by. The folks over at Weiss Jenner are probably, for the most part, all registered engineers. They're subject to their own level of ethics and overall scrutiny in terms of their professional conduct. I believe that these people are going to conduct themselves in a manner that's consistent with good practice and highest level of professionalism.
And Mr. Chairman, why wouldn't the group that they're going to bipartisan hire do the same thing? That's what I'm unclear as.
Mr. Chair, they probably would.
Okay.
I'm just questioning whether or not we need four firms investigating this bridge collapse.
That's fair. I presume that whoever they're going to hire bipartisanly will do a professional job. And this is one quarter, the governor's hire, of Wiss Cheney. And the governor told the department the Friday after the bridge collapse to hire Wiss Janey. He directed them to hire Wiss Janey for $2 million. And I was just reading what they're supposed to do for $2 million. I'm guessing this group's going to get a better price here for a half a million.
Mr. Chair, can I just offer just quickly? I frankly don't think you're going to get a lot for $500,000. I mean, that's another quarrel I would have this effort.
That's
I mean,
not enough.
If you really want to do it, I mean, $500,000 is not going to buy a lot of time of professional consulting type people that are going to do this kind of work. They're going to get so far in and say, we're out of money.
Well, Senator
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Senjum, if I think there's some belief that if they're duped, what I've been told by Senator Murphy is that if this group that they're hiring ends up finding that it's all duplicative, they're not even going to spend the $500,000. If, on the other hand, they find out that there's other things that need to be looked at, presumably Senator Murphy's going to come back and ask for a future transfer. But I think Senator Murphy thinks it's, well, he can speak for himself, but what he told me directly was he wasn't sure they'd spend the whole $500,000 because they do not want to duplicate what's already being done. Is that Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, you're exactly correct. And Senator Senjum, did you have the same objections for the lieutenant governor and the governor hiring an outfit to work inside the NTSB? You just said that you trusted what the NTSB said. Why would the lieutenant governor need to have full access to the NTSB offices? And did you express the same concerns that you are expressing today with the governor in regards to his investigation?
Sir Murphy, why don't we just focus on what we can do, not what somebody else is doing?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
And I think you're arguing, Sir Murphy, I'm trying to help out here. Aren't you, isn't your committee, your request to the leadership was that to fulfill your function, you needed some additional outside independent help?
Exactly.
That's what the request is. Chairman, this is a legislative function. There's nothing new about legislative oversight here. We do this all the time, and this joint committee, bipartisan committee, has said they need a little extra assistance here to do their job correctly. And Senator Senjum, I don't think the presumption that somehow this is going to be not done professionally vis-a-vis something else, I just don't see why anybody would make that assumption. Presumably Jungbauer and Earhart, Peterson, Cohen, Dibble, Murphy, Leader, they think whoever they're about to hire here is going to do a professional job. And that's a bipartisan group. And they've asked for some help from the leadership to pay for them to do the job that they think needs to be done. And I just don't think we should make a bigger deal out of this than
Mr. Chair, just if there's any question about do I think this fourth firm would act professionally, probably, sure, they've got their reputation as well. There's no question about how they're going to act. It's simply a matter of whether or not they need to duplicate, frankly, what I think other people are doing.
And that's a legitimate concern. I grant that. And Senator Murphy, assure us again that you're trying to make sure this is not duplicative. Because I think nobody wants to duplicate something.
Mr. Chairman, that was part of my opening remarks. Senator Senjum, if we get into this and we get our initial report, and it appears that 95% of the information is all duplicative. We're going to fold a tent and go home. We don't want to waste the taxpayers' money any more than you do. But once again, this was done on a bipartisan basis. And Senator Senjum, Senator Jungbauer is a good member of your caucus. And I would hope that the rest of your caucus doesn't leave him hanging out there. He's trying to do what the people elected him to do. And I just see that, by us dragging our feet on this, we're not getting to where we need to be to build a safe, reliable transportation system. We need to move forward. And if difficult questions have to be asked and answered, then so be it. I think that the taxpayers and the people of the state of Minnesota demand that.
Mr.
Okay, I think we've driven this
I don't
ground,
want to belabor
so.
Too much, but Does not the joint committee have the ability, for the most part, to ask any person to come before them and testify?
I presume they do, yes. I presume they do. And I think, Senator Sessions, my
understanding. So my point is the questions can be asked and answers can be gotten.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
I'm going to go back to my answer of a couple minutes ago. No, the Joint Committee doesn't have the ability to interview hundreds of people and to sort through hundreds of thousands of documents. No, the Joint Committee doesn't have that ability.
Senator Centrum, don't you think that the stuff we've seen in the press indicates that the legislature needs to do some due diligence here? I mean, you and I had nothing to do with any of that, what's in the press, but there just seems to be enough information floating around that needs to either be verified or not to kind of figure out where we're at. And I just think in a constitutional form of government, there's a legislative function here to do our job. And this committee's asking for the ability to do their job. That's all that's really going on here.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
When do you anticipate the work of the Office of Legislative Auditor? Because it seems to me the kinds of questions and the inferences that you've made and the things that have been made are the issues that they are addressing. When will that...
They are going to report, apparently, evaluation completed in time for the legislative session scheduled to begin on February 12th. So I presume...
This year.
The auditors, they're going to come back with some information on the... around February sometime. And I've been told, I'll just tell you what I've been told offline, I've been told that they may raise more questions than answer questions. That's their feeling. Because, you know, they've got limited resources, well, too. And I want you to know, I'll say this publicly, I said to the legislative auditor, would you like us to give you more money? And the legislative auditor said, let us do what we can do with our current staff and then see where we're at. Is pretty much... So I think we don't know exactly how this is all going to roll out, but... I've been assured by Senator Murphy that his group does not want to duplicate and waste money.
But Mr. Chairman, the conversation has been for Senator Cohen that as members that you weren't able to ask. Well, you're not on that collapse committee, but you're not able to ask the questions. But that's what we rely on the legislative auditor: raise issues. They meet with people and laying the groundwork of it, and go ahead and really.
Mr.
Ask
Chairman.
The questions or develop the questions.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, in the discussions we had prior to interviews, there was discussion among the legislators as to the various investigative committees or investigations going on. And the information we had, and I've not talked to the legislative auditor myself, but the information we had is that, no, they don't have the capability to conduct the kind of investigation that's needed, that they see their role in a somewhat different capacity. As Senator Pogemiller indicated, that the legislative auditor feels that they have the ability to raise some of the broad questions as to some of these issues, but not to get at some of the direct answers in the context of their office. So, no, the legislative auditor is not the place to do this.
So, Mr. Chairman, does the law firm have, like, subpoena powers or that kind of thing? Or is there something that isn't, or are the tools out there for access to information that
no,
somehow
Mr.
the rest can't use that they can, or?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, the Bridge Collapse Committee has the authority to issue subpoenas. And if the folks that we hire come back and say that there's been stonewalling, and we don't expect any of that to go on, but if it did, the committee has the right to subpoena, and just like any other standing committee in the Minnesota legislature, and I believe it's 2/3 vote, Mr. Watson, is that correct?
Mr. Watson.
Yes. And if it comes to that, then I don't see it coming to that, although there has been times when the access to information inside MnDOT has been excruciatingly, I knew I'd botch that word. It's been tough to come by.
Okay, members.
Sorry.
Members, I think we don't need to vote on this in this committee. I'm perfectly willing to, if that's what members are comfortable with.
What do you want to do? I just wanted to make sure that the committee had the opportunity to discuss this. Senator Senjum, would you want us to vote on this?
On a personal basis, I want to vote on it.
Okay.
I think it's a redundant study.
Okay, let's do that then. Is this passed out? Let's pass this out. Who's got it?
We'll make copies.
Oh, we need to make copies. It's a simple
motion. Well, that's what we need.
Let's pass it out. Let's pass it out.
This stuff.
Let's pass it out. It's real simple. It just says we move to transfer $250,000 to the LCC. And
see, this makes the point. Mr. Watson had to get up, give the piece of paper to somebody, and if we had to duplicate that 500,000 times, Mr. Watson couldn't do that.
And again, the request from the request is for 250 from the Senate to transfer to the LCC, 250 from the House. It's my understanding the Speaker has the authority to do that. Again, this is not something the Rules Committee has to do, but
it's the multiple.
That's fine. We can do it here.
Send the lawyer to do it.
And while we're waiting for that, I just want to reiterate, Senator Murphy, did Senator Pogermiller have anything to do with your interviews or who you interviewed or why you interviewed them? Or
Mr. Chairman, you did not have anything to do with it. The minority leader, Senator Senjum, didn't have anything to do with it. Representative Kelleher, the Speaker, had nothing to do with this committee, nor did Representative Seifert. It was totally independent of leadership of both parties.
Senator Metzen didn't have anything to do with it either?
And absolutely, Mr. President had nothing to do with it.
So.
And I want to add, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Metzen.
I want to add that I just drove over the Lafayette Bridge about an hour ago, and I was a little nervous. The Lafayette Bridge was scheduled to be completed in 2011, quite frankly, ahead of the one that collapsed. So my wife says we should go over the Wabasha Bridge or the
it's a newer
Robert
bridge.
Street Bridge instead of the one that shakes at the Lafayette. But
so Cohen moves.
Mr. Chairman, just on that point.
Sarah Murphy.
All these bridges, Senator Metzen, are designed to shake,
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah, you have to have expansion.
Yeah, but you get up by the Savoy Pizza on the north end, and it goes like this. That's not a little bit, I don't think.
I know, I've chipped a few teeth there.
And we got the Wakota issue, but we're not going to get into that this morning.
Senator Cohen moves something, this one sentence, three line, 12-19-09. And apparently, I asked, should it say up to 250? And the response was that you make the transfer, and if they don't bill for the 250, then the money just comes back, and we can get it back.
Yeah, and
is that's what I've been told.
Chairman, and before voting, just so everybody understands that there will be a billing process, and the firm will be required to submit monthly bills for their work. It's not just a flat fee that's paid to them.
Okay, any discussion on this motion? Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, perhaps harsh words, but I think for the most part we see this as politically motivated at taxpayer expenses. I don't think for a minute, an instant, that this is going to do us any give us any further information that we're going to get it, that we won't get it out of the good work of the agencies that are already working on this. This is a forest study. It's, as I said, redundant. And I have grave fears about why we're really doing this.
And, Mr. Chairman, once again, Senator Senjum, did you ask the governor and the lieutenant governor the same questions in their $2 million expenditure of taxpayers' money?
I would tell you that if we were to go back to that the next day after the bridge, and if you would have asked me, I would have said I have complete faith at that point, frankly, in the NTSB. I think they're going to tell us why that bridge fell and what we need to do to prevent these kind of things from happening again. So I have no doubt in my mind about that. And you had the legislative auditors at work. That complements it. I don't think we need WEIS, but we've got it, and we can't take that one back.
$2 million.
Yeah.
And, Senator Senjum, all I would ask, I certainly understand your thoughts on this. I would just think it's important to, if whoever this firm that our bipartisan group hires does good work, won't that be the test of whether this was a good idea or not? And I don't think it's wise to presuppose that something is not going to be good work.
Mr. Chair, it probably will be, but I don't think this group has the wherewithal, no matter who they hire, to do a lot until we get the expert decisions and opinions and report from the NTSB.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, your statement is opposite of what we've heard. There is a presupposition is that we're not going to get good work out of the other entities, and so therefore we need this.
I think it's fair to say Senator Murphy has some concerns there. I don't know that anybody else has expressed that. But
Mr. Chairman, once again, clearly for the record, I believe that the legislative auditor's work is above reproach. I used to believe that the NTSB's work was above reproach. But now they have an elected political official running their investigation. And I don't think that is a good recipe for Minnesota.
I'm not sure that that's
I think the key indictment. Isn't the key thing here for however this all proceeds for Minnesotans to be assured that we did figure out and do all due diligence, provided our legislative function, and the governor's activities are going to be helpful in this investigation also, and we just need to figure out the best of our ability what happened and make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think that's all this bipartisan group of legislators is asking us to help them do. So let's just see what the work is by everybody. And I fundamentally agree with the Senator Senjum. We do not want to spend money that is not necessary to spend. Fundamentally agree.
And Mr. Chair, I think it has to be said what Senator Murphy just said. I suspect he meant, but it does bother me. I do not believe that the Commissioner of Transportation Minnesota is running this NTSB proposal. She may be collaborating with the agency, and that would be certainly appropriate in terms of providing information and so on. But I think it's dangerous to say what I just heard, and I don't know if you really meant it that way or not, but the NTSB has to act with incredible integrity all over this country. And the notion that they would be swayed by a political jurisdiction is just, I don't think we can go there.
Keep in mind, they're going to find an engineering. They're talking about engineering. They're not talking about things that this legislative group in terms of oversight is talking about. So there are different functions here. And I don't think Senator Murphy's group is trying to, bipartisan group is trying to do the engineering here.
Mr. Chair, they're going to hire some engineering staff.
Well, they may have some expertise to ask questions about various things, but I don't know that. I mean, there seems to be different functions available here, not available, but open for examination. And I just go back to, isn't there a legislative function here constitutionally? And I really think there is. And we need to do our job. And Senator Murphy and his bipartisan group is trying to proceed. And we'll see if they. So, Senator Senjum, I've heard what you've said. I took to heart your letter, but we really need to make sure that there's a certainty that Minnesotans know that we've done everything possible to avoid this happening again. And I think that's what Minnesotans deserve, and hopefully we can get there. So, Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to prolong this too much, but let me just, a lot of discussion about the duplication. That seems to be the centrality of some of the argument. I'm going to go back to history that's now getting a little bit distant, but let's go back to Watergate. There were three major investigations. They all had different kinds of elements they were investigating of the same kind of group of activities. The House Judiciary Committee looked at it from a constitutional/impeachment perspective. The Senate Investigative Committee, the Senate Watergate Committee, was a very kind of broad stroke, to be fair, a little bit more political, but came up with a lot of significant information. the special prosecutor looked at it from a legal perspective in terms of whether or not there have been any crimes or any criminal laws violated. So there were different kinds of investigations. This is something in the context of the history of Minnesota that we'll be hearing about, reading about, looking back to 10 years from now, 25 years from now, 50 years from now. And so the fact that we have investigations that have different kinds of aspects to it hopefully adds to the body of information so that this legislature, as did subsequent presidents and congresses, can make decisions relative to how we handle transportation in Minnesota in a similar fashion. And the last comment I'll make is, Senator Senchum, you've put a lot of faith in the NTSB. On the surface, I might feel the same. And maybe you're two steps ahead of me. I can't name a single person on the NTSB. I can't name the chair of the NTSB. I can't tell you how they operate. Pardon?
I met the chair of the NTSB.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, he told me there would be no public pronouncements of anything until after the investigation was done.
And what's the name of the chairman?
Rosacker, I think, is
Rosenker.
It? Rosenker.
Rosenker, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. You're a step ahead of me.
He told me on the bridge, as we were looking over the bridge, that there would be absolutely no public announcements about anything until the investigation was over.
I think the secretary was totally out of line in whatever she expressed.
So, Mr. Chairman, that makes the point that as a legislature, to be dependent on a federal investigation to provide us information that we need is something we just can't control.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I'm trying to correlate the Watergate investigation, which was based on a break-in to seek information for political purposes, and its connection to the collapse of the I-35W bridge. It seems to me you're inferring that this was somehow a planned or whatever.
No. You do the wrong thing.
You keep coming back to Watergate as the something that is a corollary to this, and I don't get it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the only corollary is that the bridge collapse is a seminal event in Minnesota history. Watergate break-in was a seminal event in American history. When you have events of a certain magnitude, simply because there are parallel investigations doesn't mean that they are duplicative of each other. That was the point. I don't suggest for a second that there'll be some magic document that suggests this Commissioner of Transportation or any of the preceding 10 Commissioner of Transportation made some decision, here's an idea, let's see if the bridge collapses. Obviously not. But there are certainly a lot of decisions interlocking that the legislature would like to learn about, whether it be engineering decisions, political decisions. I have no idea. None of us have any idea. And Senator Murphy and Representative Leader's joint committee will be in the best possible position to try to establish some of what might have happened, not in an intentional way whatsoever, Senator Olson, but in a way that will allow us to make better decisions as a state legislature. Because with an event of this magnitude, I don't think, and I'm not the transportation expert around this place, and I don't happen to serve on Senator Murphy's division, but as the chair, and you've been on the Finance Committee, Senator Fredrickson's been on the Finance Committee, with the overview of the finance divisions, to make these decisions down the road, I don't think we're in a very good position to know what we should do or not do. That's the purpose of this committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
last word, then we're going to move on.
Well,
here.
Mr. Chairman, the Watergate thing is a seminal event. Happened because of a lot of stupid decisions. If the initial thing had been fessed up to and it could have had closure on it, it probably would not have carried out to where it was. But the whole cover-up thing, I'm trying to follow the correlator, that you feel that there's something that going on here to cover up that we have to expose.
Could I argue
what it's all about?
Could I argue that the conversation's getting duplicative?
And Mr. Chairman,
Murphy, I think we're good to go here. Let's... I think we.
I'm just going to say I got to punch the time clock.
Right, we're going to. All right. So we have the Cohen motion in front of us. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
I believe the motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do good work. Be bipartisan. Okay. Now let's go to a more mundane. You know, and I just want to reiterate, that's something that I brought to the committee. It was not necessary to bring here. I just thought, since people were so interested, we should talk about it here. So, Senator, are you going to tell me don't do that again? Don't bring things here again?
That would be a good suggestion. The only comment I would have said, this whole discussion, no matter how many investigations we do, the definitive investigation is going to be the NTSB. I mean, they investigated the accident that tragically killed Senator Wellstone, the major international airline accident that Senator Senjum mentioned, Amtrak accidents. I mean, when they come out with their reports, that is going to be the one that's going to be on the evening news, no matter how many other investigations we do. I'm not sure. I don't think this is money well spent, but the decision is made. And I certainly agree with what's been said about that the legislature needs to find out, you know, the process and all that, but I don't think we need to spend $500,000 to do it. That's
well,
all I have to say.
Okay, I mean, I just remind. Okay. Okay, there have been a continuing discussions on benefit for employees trying to get us into the modern era. Mr. Bumaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I have before you today is a summary of the recommended benefit changes that are going to be presented to the Legislative Coordinating Commission this afternoon. For their approval, it's my understanding.
Because these are things that jointly, not we don't need the House necessarily, but we're doing them kind of in conjunction with the House.
Yes, there are certain things, vacation, sick leave, that have to run parallel and have agreement between both bodies and other things that we could go off on our own if we wanted to. All of these are items that preliminarily both bodies have agreed to in concept. And what I wanted to do is just review these quickly in terms of the general substantive changes, and again, these will be going before the LCC this afternoon for their approval, and then my understanding is after they've approved them, they come back to the Rules Committee for formal approval. So if there's any major issues on these, I'd like to know about them so that we can discuss that at the LCC this afternoon. The first one on group insurance is simply to adopt the CGIP insurance program. We've had meetings with employees. Typically, the legislature has dovetailed onto the CGIP insurance program for health, prescription, dental, life, and disability. And that's the first one. The second one on organ donation leave deals with a mandatory statutory requirement that law be changed from an optional paid leave to a mandatory paid leave of 40 hours in the event that somebody would donate organs.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Could you just clarify on that? Is that the person has to take the leave or that the agency has to provide it as paid leave?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that would have to be granted if the employee would request it.
Okay, thank you. That was not clear to me in that way it was stated.
And then another item here, each body does have the ability to donate leave to other legislative bodies if, for instance, an employee is sick and runs out their sick leave. Other employees can donate leave within their particular body, and the thought there was to expand that so that if people here wanted to donate sick or vacation leave to somebody in the House, for instance, who had run out their sick leave, that they would have the ability to do that. So that's the other change under the organ donation program. And in the Senate, people can donate up to 12 hours of vacation or sick leave to help fund somebody else who's run out their sick leave presently in the Senate. This would just expand it to allowing them to do that with other bodies. The next one on deferred compensation.
The thought there was to increase the state match from $300 to $400 in 2008 and to $500 in 2009, and also to reduce the vacation deferred comp ratio. Right now it's for every 3 hours vacation used, you can transfer 1 hour to deferred comp. The thought being to convert that from 3-to-1 to 2-to-1. That's the proposal on that. The next one on vacation accrual is more of a recruiting and retention issue. The proposal there is to increase the number of days that employees accrue between 0 and 5 years and 5 to 8 years by 3 days per year. And also, in the event that somebody is terminated without given advance notice of termination, some people have gotten burned in the past because they had over 275 hours of vacation on the books, and the rule is that you have to get down to 275 hours one time per year. And in the event of some terminations, people don't have the ability to reduce their vacation to that level. And the proposal there would be to allow those individuals, if their balance is over 275 hours, that they wouldn't be penalized for something that they didn't know that was going to happen to them. The next item on sick leave basically allows parents up to six weeks of sick leave for the use of sick leave for birth or adoption of a child to be used within 1 year of the event. The current policy only allows 10 days for adoption and restricts fathers to 10 days for a natural birth. So what that proposal does is intends to create both, to treat both birth and adoptions as parallel events. And then also the next bullet item there is something that was done for other state employees, increasing the state contribution to the health care savings account from $200 to $250 for those employees qualifying for a health care savings plan. Under the former methodology, I believe that was given as a life insurance payment in the event, or a payment in the event of death. So the state, for other employees, has decided to make that something that people could use while they're alive and put it into a health care spending account. So that parallels other state contract provisions. And then also just a minor correction on the sick leave. When we talk about close relatives throughout the benefit books, step siblings are included in all other categories except for sick leave. So to make the book consistent, the group felt that it would be good to add step siblings to that provision as well. And then the final item has to do with transition leave. This would be in the event of elections and people losing their jobs as a result of reorganizations. What would happen here, people can take 40 hours of transition leave in the last 4 weeks, and this would just extend that to the last 8 weeks so that they would have a little bit more time to conduct a job search, hopefully find something, and help our unemployment costs in that regard. The last change is something that we're proposing for the Senate. The House does not want to go along with this. We have the ability to do this in the Senate. And the proposal here is to add a resignation section to the Red Book, which is the Senate Policies and Procedures, that considers a voluntary termination to include any employee who fails to call or show up for work for 3 consecutive work days without proper notification. Now, this is a proposal that's pretty standard in industry. It goes along the assumption that employers have a reasonable expectation that employees will let them know when they're not going to be at work. And, you know, we're not in Australia where people can just go on a walkabout and come back, you know, several months later without notifying their managers. Now, in the event that somebody was in the hospital in a coma, obviously there would be judgment exercised. But this would help the Senate also from the standpoint of unemployment. In unemployment cases, Without having a policy like this, it makes it a little bit more difficult to prevail. And again, this would be a something that would help save the Senate some money on its unemployment costs. Not a great deal, but it's just something to tighten things up. Fortunately, we don't have this happen very often where people just disappear and don't report, but it has happened in the 1 year that I've been here, and this would just be a way to help tighten things up a little bit in that regard. So these are the proposals. What I've done is I've summarized the good work that Greg Hubinger has done in the attached document. The attached document goes into these things in a little bit more detail, particularly with the health insurance and so forth, all the changes that have taken place in the health plan.
What's it other?
And it's organized in terms of things that are parallel modifications, conforming changes with the state negotiated contracts, staff proposals from the various staff groups of the House, Senate, and LCC, and then clarifications to some things that were just a little bit muddy in the current book.
Chairman.
Mr.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, one thing, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've kind of been pushing for the last 2-3 years, and I don't think we're still there, is the state's contribution on a deferred comp. It seems to me we ought to be encouraging people to save around here, and most of your private companies that I'm aware of kick in a heck of a lot more than like $200 or $300 a year in this area, and it's not a big price tag. And it's very peanuts, if you will, compared to society out there as a whole. And I think at least you advanced it from 300 to 400, but this is an area where, for so many reasons, we want to encourage people to save. And one could be at the end of the day in the nursing homes where the state doesn't pick up the $60,000-$70,000 because you'll have something saved. And each $100 here is not a lot of money to the state. And I mean, I'm going to vote for it today, but I've been talking to Mr. Hubinger and anybody else that listened over the last 2-3 years, and it's been stagnant at the 300 forever. And now we go up to 400, which isn't even an inflationary figure from the last time we put it up to 300. But I'd be willing to even amend it today, but I won't do it.
Sir Metzen, the Senate did want to be more aggressive on this.
I think we're behind.
The House didn't want to go there. That's
That's good to hear, because I know I've been talking to people for years about this.
We wanted to be more aggressive. I think at one point I had, weren't we talking about getting up to 900 or?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think.
750 or something?
We proposed 750 the first year and 1,500 the second year, and we weren't able to get agreement.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I can't say enough about the fact that we ought to encourage and do more of this, and I didn't know the House was that chintzy about this. But there's so many reasons that this should be up, and we want to encourage again, and then I'm done, but our employees to contribute to this.
Each could have gone.
Well, I think the
Mr. Well, can Boomhauer, we do it in the Senate? Forget the House?
Well, Mr. Boomhauer told us that the private sector is a little more, I don't know if the word's aggressive, just a little more
generous.
I don't know if it's a little more
forward thinking on this.
Well, it's not a little more, is it, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, in the private sector, typically what you find is dollar for dollar match up to the first.
Well, that's what I mean.
3 or 4% of compensation, and then a 50-cent match on the next 3%.
So typically, for example, Mr. Chairman, Senator Frederickson puts in $4,000 a year, and we put in $300.
Yes.
You know, and the private sector is 1-for-1. Is that what you put
it? Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, in the private sector, is that their retirement, or is that in addition to their retirement?
Typically, that would be their retirement plan. They don't have defined benefit plans like the state has, so that is somewhat of an offsetting thing. Now, this would be something that if we wanted to go down our own road on that, it's my understanding that we would have the ability to do that in the Senate on deferred comp, that we would not have to parallel what the House is doing on that.
But Chairman, some private companies, Senator Olson, do both. So is that correct?
Yes.
So it's not like one or the other.
About 30% of the private companies have both. And in addition, private companies a lot of times have profit sharing, so the total amount that is going in on behalf of employees is about 9% of compensation.
Senator Bach, did you want
to? Well, if we don't have to be consistent with the House and we all agree this is an area we should be more progressive, why are we not breaking ranks with the House on this? Is there a budgetary reason or what?
It's not a big
number. How much, what is it per 100? How do you think about that, Mr. Boombach?
Well, for the current proposal that's before us, it would be $46,000 over 2 years.
Is that all for going up?
Yeah, it's not a big number.
So another 46 would take us to 500?
Yeah, it's a small number, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse it would probably be less than $100,000. To go to what was proposed earlier, the 750 and 1500.
I think there's been an effort to try to keep in alignment as much as possible with the House.
We used that.
Michelle and Dan.
Exactly.
Let's rescind that and put it where it belongs.
Or cut it down by 100,000. Why should you ever give them everything they asked for?
Put it where it's supposed to go.
Put 100,000 of that. Let them have 150,000.
And off the record, Jim.
There are no members.
I hope not.
Members, I think what would be best is to stay in alignment with the House now. The House knows we want to do more here, and I think there's kind of an understanding that we will stay at this in the next few years. I think at staff level there's a feeling that we should try to stay in alignment with the House right now.
Mr. Chair, it doesn't seem like we stay in alignment with the House on anything else. So. I have thought this, I have a daughter that works for American Crystal. They have both the pension and the deferred comp, and it's quite, I think it's 5%, and then 5% would be $1,500 and some dollars. So I think I always thought that we were very, very low on this. I really think we should go to 750 now.
What if between this year and next year, members talk to their House members and get their House members to want to do that too, and then I'm guessing it would happen real quickly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, how about if we went to this House suggested number in 8 to 400, and we showed a little leadership in 9 and went to 750 instead of 5, and maybe they'd see our wisdom over the next year.
Or they would get irritated that we... I think at staff level, bipartisanly, I think there's a sense that this is one we ought to just kind of try to stay in alignment with the House for now. They know how strongly we feel about this. We worked it pretty hard.
Just wait for two more years, though.
We in the minority like it when the majority caucuses fight.
Think it was the majority caucuses. I think it was. This has been kind of. We're trying to do this on a. You want to add something publicly? Or
speak up. We'll override the majority leader. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
If you're with me, it's
lunch. I think we got the votes.
Grab a mic. Say your name for the record. Say your name for the record.
Michelle Kelm-Helgen, Chief of Staff to the Majority Caucus. What we have to keep in mind, what the House, first of all, legitimately, it's not a case that they don't want to do it. It's a budget issue. They have more staff, so anything they do has a pretty big budget impact. They did say to us, if we were going to do this, we should try to budget for it ahead of time collectively so that we can make sure that we can afford it within our budgets. And even within the Senate budget, when you look at our original proposal, I'm not sure it wouldn't cause us budget problems within the Senate because we did not budget for this when we did our Senate budget through Senator Betzold's committee. So I'd be a little bit careful about how we do that. And obviously, 09 is easier than 08. But the other piece of it is these benefits that we do affect that not only the House and the Senate, but there's the joint group, Greg Hubinger's people, the reviser, his folks, all the people who report to them, they typically, their benefit, like with salary increases, they take the average, whatever the House and the Senate does. So then our benefits get kind of strange, because if we do something off the book that's different than the House, then what do they do with their benefits? And it just, overall, as we talked it through, both from a budget standpoint for the Senate and certainly probably more significantly with the House, and also what happens to those other groups, doing something different, which we did discuss at length, gets to be difficult. Not to say you can't do it, and Senator Pogemiller was pushing us very hard to try to make this work. And we did talk at length kind of with everybody, and staff finally decided that it would be better at this point. We can always change the 09. You know, year to year you can change it. And if you're going to do anything, I would say do it in 09. But be careful, you know, again, from a budget standpoint, it affects us as well as the House. So,
Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Sarah Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Michelle.
Michelle.
Is the $46,000 that this additional $100 going to add to, is that accommodated in our budget?
Yes, we did look at our budget with Mr. Flavin to make sure that we could afford these two figures as well. The House did the same thing.
Mr. President.
2009, you may not be around, a couple of us, you know. No, I'm just thinking, Mr. Chairman.
What, are you die of old age?
Does this apply to legislators?
We added...
I got a four-year term.
I believe $1.5 million or $2 million to the Senate budget last year, and I know we worked on, and you worked on very hard for upping the salaries of our employees that are well deserving. But it seems to me $40,000-$50,000 is not the end of the world if that's the difference. But
Senator Metzen, we just voted to spend $250,000 of that.
Well, maybe we should rescind the bridge money and put it where it really belongs.
I'll second that.
You got me thinking. I hate to wait until 2009 to correct a situation that's out of whack.
Murphy left.
I think, Mr. Chairman, if we did it, went to 750 in 09, we'd only be talking about accruing 6 months of liability in this biennium. So the number gets even smaller as far as the cost in this biennium.
I get the distinct feeling that this we'll want to do this in 09, and we'll pass that along to the House. So.
Oh, no.
We don't have to do that right now, right? You know, I'm just... Everybody, we're just trying to get along with the House. And
you are?
Yeah, we can do it next year. We can do it now for 09? Wouldn't that make the meeting longer this afternoon at 1 o'clock with the House and the joint?
I thought they didn't have to act on our
anything else to do?
Situation. Well, you going to show some leadership here?
Well, you know, Mr. Chairman, I have to ask Mr. Watson if I'm eligible to make an amendment, considering my wife is an employee of the Senate, or if I'd even be eligible to vote on it.
This applies to all of us.
Well, I'm aware of that, but I just don't want to do anything inappropriate.
Right, well, let's do this by consensus. You don't need to get in that position. Can we kind of go with it here now and do something later on 09, or Mr. President, or do you want to make a stand now? Take a stand.
We draw that line in the sand here this morning, and
couldn't we go?
Can we do it now today for 9 and 10?
Go to 5 now, and then consider 09 later.
You know, I'm not going to die on the sword on this, but it just seems to me the staff has worked really hard on this, and they've built a consensus with the House on these items. The House gave on some other stuff. Now, I hope you'll give those speeches about how fiscally responsible the House is, David.
Sure. I don't even know what this is.
My preference would be to stay here right now if we could. But we will make the House know that there's a tsunami coming.
Well, I don't even think I won't do anything today, Mr. Chairman, but I think it's an open discussion. We don't have to necessarily meet. We have to wait till 9 or 10. We can figure out something next meeting we have or the meeting after or something. I think it should stay open and
still be thinking about it and not necessarily say it's not till 9 and 10. You know, we can come back.
Nenny, what do you guys want to do?
folks want to do?
Pardon me?
What do you want to do?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it sounds like you should have the discussion with the House and tell them by next year there's going to be a big change. You know, they should accommodate that.
Mr. Chair, if I remember how this works, it's in December that the money comes in, isn't it? Because, yeah.
Greg, or whoever.
I think it's the December paycheck where they come in.
The match.
What do you mean?
Mr. Bruba.
Mr. Chairman, the match is made quarterly.
Well, that isn't the way my paycheck reads. I mean, it's the December check that $300 has been adjusted for. So my take-home pay goes from $126 a month up to, you know, $400 and something.
Huh?
All of a sudden, I've got money.
We got a lot of big bucks here.
I do 15.3 also on the Social Security and so on, and the 9%. I have almost nothing left.
Do we have a clarification?
Does that show us?
Yes.
Ever?
How do you eat?
It's offered.
Please identify yourself, please.
Linda Gorski, payroll. The match, we send out paperwork in January. We do it quarterly, so March, the end of June, September and December, we match up to $300. So when the employee has to turn in the form, it's not an automatic. So when we get your form, the quarter that you hit the $300 in, if we have your form, is put into your account. Now on your, so if I, and I think you got yours before December.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure when they pay it in, but that adjustment of that $300 is in my December paycheck.
We should do this.
Where I pay in $300 less.
Oh, you've already. What that adjustment is, though, you can only put in a maximum amount, so you match.
That's correct.
And that match goes towards that maximum amount, so you hit it before your last check. So it looks like it's $300 less because you got your match earlier in the year, and you can only put in, like, if you're 50, you can put in up to $15,500. But the match is included in that, so it's $15,200 that you could put in yourself. If you're over 50, it's $20,500.
That's correct. So it only affects those
that max
that
out.
Are at max.
Right.
What do you want to do? I don't.
What do you want? $507.50?
Yeah.
Metzen moves that we go out of step with the House to $507.50.
And if you don't vote for it, you don't get it. I like that.
No, you're going to be there at 1 o'clock, aren't you? Today?
I'm vice chair of that far. Okay.
So on that motion, and Senator Bach, for you're just going to. Abstain.
I would abstain unless Mr. Watson tells me I can vote. I mean, I support it, but
abstain is it?
Senator Bach will abstain on this vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. With Senator Bach abstaining.
Chairman, I have one concern. The last item on here, it says Senate only. I agree with the. With
and the chair votes. The chair votes no.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just.
If you don't get it, then I'll tell you.
No.
I'm just. Yeah,
I'm just. But for the House people who are watching, the chair really was trying to avoid it. But okay, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
The last item on here, where if an employee fails to call or show up for work for three consecutive work days, I wonder if we should have a clause in there that would say unless the absence is because of a medical condition. 3 days isn't a very long time. If somebody was in a bad accident of some type or
and
came down with a really bad disease,
they
could be absent for 3 days and they would be without a job. So,
Oh, you're talking about this last
one? The last one,
it's without notice.
Or emergency.
Emergency.
Mr. Boomer, this is something that's been talked about in the staff level for.
And all I'm suggesting is some phrase in there that gives some. That gives some accommodation for making a reasonable decision that they wouldn't be terminated. Because what this says is if they don't call or show up for work for 3 days, they're out of work.
Yeah, couldn't you just say for good cause or something? Or
That's all I'm suggesting.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we could add some language to get at that contingency.
You know, if they blow off going to work, fine. They're out of here. But, you know, if they're
vacationing in Florida in a bad car accident and don't get back here.
Right.
That's a good point.
Mr. Watson, do you have suggestive language?
Mr. Chairman, I don't. I don't have a copy of the book here that has the actual language that we're working from. I'm sorry, I neglected to bring that with me.
Mr. Watson, this would be a new provision. I don't believe there is anything in the current book talking about resignations in the Red Book. I could be wrong on that, but we would probably have to put a new section in there dealing with that and develop some language along the lines of what Senator Frederickson is talking about.
Mr. Chairman, so, Mr. Bumar, what you're saying is that this is suggesting a proposed policy, but we don't have the proposed policy before us? Is it at a resignation section? But we don't have the draft language before us at this time anyway?
Right.
Okay, so why don't we do this? We understand what Senator Frederickson is suggesting. The exact language will be coming before us next time we meet. There's no urgency to do that today. Okay, so let's get the exact language, deal with the good suggestion, Senator.
Mr. Chair, could I just ask a question, too, maybe get a clarification? It seems to me that if an employee does not, and I'm not talking about sickness or anything like that, but if they just don't show up for 3 days, don't call, it says here that we're giving them a voluntary termination as opposed to an involuntary one. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more harsh in my thoughts, but if somebody simply doesn't show up for 3 days and doesn't call or do anything like that, and we give them the benefit of a voluntary termination, which is much softer than an involuntary.
But less expensive. Voluntary termination is less expensive.
Okay, so that's a logic trail. All right. Enough. My questions are answered.
Mr. Watson wanted to clarify something on the deferred comp. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, as I recall, a deferred comp is one of those provisions in the benefit book that applies differently to members than for staff. Things that have to do with the compensation of a member, any increase in compensation that's voted on, can't take effect until after there's been an intervening election of the House of Representatives. So whether the increase in 2008 would be $300 or, as you propose it here, $500, that particular piece would not take effect for members. The members would have their rate go up in 2009 after this fall's election. So don't be putting that $500 in your pocket just yet. You'd be looking at the $800 for the 2008.
We're going to hire, Mr. Chairman, an independent lawyer to refute.
Yes.
Investigate.
Mr. Watson, so does that lead you to think we should change the motion we just made? Or not necessarily?
No, allows you to do it for staff.
No, not necessarily. As I recall, there is language in the book that talks about that. In the past, when we've had increases, there's been a note that the increase for members does not take effect until this later date.
So is that manageable?
If you were doing the calculations on the budget, it would just mean that there had not been any cost attributable to the members before. The $300 would not have been a cost before. The $500 won't be a cost now. But the change to the budget is just before the proposal was $400 in 2009. Now it's $800 in 2009. So we're just looking at the impact on the Senate budget is only the $400 that you made the increase.
Ms. Gorski?
Yes. Just for the record, the House members do not get a match. Only the employees.
We just won't talk about that much. But, could we do the stay at the 400 then and then put 750 in 09?
If we're going to 400, we aren't eligible for that either.
Yeah, I thought you had $800.
Well, we can't even go to 400 then.
No.
Is that the wrong number?
Until an election.
Okay, so
we could go.
Senator Metzen moves to reconsider his motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, are you looking out for the members or for our employees?
I both. I've talked to a lot of employees. I want to encourage them to save. I really do.
And I've talked to a lot of people about this.
They don't have to.
I don't want to shift the approach.
We want to stay where we're at.
I want to leave the 400 there.
Okay. So we're just going to stay where we're at.
Right.
But members,
can we do 750 to 09 for everybody on this motion?
Right.
Yeah.
The 300 goes to 400, and I agree. The employees get the 400. We
no,
don't.
They get five.
But 05.
No, they're going to get five.
They would get five.
We went to five and 750.
Oh, so we said five.
So the employees. 750
would kick in for everybody then in 09. Right there. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
that's exactly what I said.
Okay. All right, so we'll just stay there. All right, any other questions on this? So those first 6 items with the change to 500 and 750 in the deferred comp. Senator Metzen moves that we adopt those and work with the House on those. Discussion?
Is it January 1st effective? Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. Yes.
So.
That's why we're meeting today. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. And so they're going to go ahead and bring back some language on the resignation issue, specific language. Yeah. Then we have one more item, interns. We apparently need to do something now so that interns can start a little earlier. And the proposal here is for them to start January 21st. And is that the same dollar amount as last session?
Yes.
Same dollar amount as last session. 400? I thought it was only 300 last session.
I thought it was 2.
Weren't interns 300 last session? Or was it?
That is 75 is 300.
So is this different? So, okay, this is lodging. This is intern lodging is the 400. Okay. Okay, so this is the same dollar amounts as previous. It's just that we would start them January 21st. They could start as early as January 21st. Is that... Apparently, we've done this in the past. We've started in the off year. We started them earlier. Okay, because there tends to be some work being done earlier. This doesn't mean you have to start your intern, but you could. Okay, so Senator Olson moves SCR-016-1. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Anything else? Michelle, anything else? I think, are we done for this year then? We don't need to come back before the end of the year? Okay, members, have a great holiday. And there is a holiday party at 2 o'clock today that I think I'm sponsoring.
What are you serving?
Yeah, what are you serving?
I don't know.
Cannon Falls cookies.
What's that?
So.
Cookies from Cannon Falls Bakery.
Oh.
That's a good one.
So, meeting adjourned.
Nice party.
Well, Merry Christmas, Tom.
You too.
Merry Christmas.